social media strategist Scott Klenberg. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Bob. How are you?
I'm about 90% today, actually. How about that?
That's really good. That's higher than I've heard in a while.
It's because I had an extra long weekend. This is something that you may have noticed out there. An email or a notification that Facebook could owe you money. And actually, we got one of those. And I checked with Scott because it looked like a scam, but it actually isn't. Facebook could be giving us some money back, right?
Yeah. On first glance, like you said, it does look like a scam, but it's actually 100% real. And depending on how things shake out, like you said, a Facebook user could receive anywhere from, they're saying, $200 to $400. The case is called Patel versus Facebook. And in it, plaintiffs argued that Facebook had collected their biometric face data, being able to read what your face looks like, without any notice or consent via, they had this thing years ago called a tag suggestions tool, where they would say, is this you, or does this look like you or a friend? What that did, though, is it subjected people to Facebook's facial recognition technology in a way that actually went against Illinois law. So a judge in California gave preliminary approval to the settlement last month. Facebook actually replaced that whole tag suggestion tool with a facial recognition setting of its own in 2019.
So this is interesting. I filled this out, and hopefully some money will come back. But basically, Facebook is providing the ability for people in Illinois to tag them, and it broke this law.
Yeah, because the technology itself used facial recognition. But back then, 2011, there was no setting. Now, if you go to the privacy settings, there's a very clear and upfront separate one for facial recognition, whether you wanted to allow it or not, on or off.
So who's eligible? What makes someone eligible for a payment in this suit?
Well, to qualify, you must have lived in Illinois for at least 183 days after June 7, 2011. And the judge in the case said that the settlement applies to Facebook users located in Illinois for whom Facebook created and stored a face template after this date. So a face template means residents of Illinois who posted a picture of themselves to Facebook or who were tagged in a photo by someone else.
So it's just an Illinois thing, right?
Yeah, correct. Only Illinois residents are eligible to collect because the state has a unique law that requires companies to obtain permission before using customers' biometric data, including photographs. Facebook is supposed to have a written consent from you or anybody else before they do this. It's called BIPA, and it's called the Illinois Biometric Information Privacy Act. It's been around since 2008.
How do we ensure we get what's coming to us?
Well, if you're eligible, you'll get an email about it, like you were talking about before. But an even easier way is to watch your Facebook app notifications. It'll just pop up with a link to fill out some information. That's a really good way to know that it's real because it's coming from within Facebook, so you have less of a question. But don't take too long to do it because the deadline to apply is November 23rd. And depending on how many people take advantage, all the attorney's fees and everything else that there is, there's supposed to be a payout sometime in the first half of 2021.
That's good to know. And it really affects a lot of people. And it's interesting that even though this is only about Illinois, this is actually the catalyst to change how Facebook collects information across the country and everywhere else, right?
Exactly. It really is. Now there's a setting, like we were saying, to turn off the feature. When this was happening years ago, it was the cool factor of the technology that was winning over all the practical, you know, side of it and the dangers of unchecked facial recognition. We didn't think much about that. But you might remember there were all these quizzes that were around and you were asked to upload a photo of yourself. And then the system told you what celebrity you look like. And it was going around offices and people were playing it like crazy.
Right.
That wasn't Facebook itself doing that. But it's an example of one of those quizzes we often talk about where people are trying to capture personal details. In that case, they could actually capture stored information about you. It's all coded, and who knows, you know, what you can do with it. But the moral of the story is you have to be careful what you do online. Very rarely is anything what it seems.
Exactly. Turning to Twitter, Scott, you have an update on something we talked about earlier this summer?
I do. Back in June, Twitter added a new pop-up alert on articles that users could, when users were going to retweet something without actually opening the article link, the goal was to stop people from blindly just retweeting when they didn't know the contents beyond the headline.
Was it successful?
It seems so. After 3 months of implementation, Twitter says that people open articles 40% more after seeing the prompt, and people opening articles before retweeting actually increased by 33%.
So the best takeaway might be what they didn't do.
Yeah. Twitter found that some people didn't end up retweeting at all after opening the article, that made the difference. There don't seem to be any solid numbers there in terms of how many did that, but to me, that's a big measure of success because there are things that should obviously not be retweeted, especially if you don't understand what you're tweeting in the first place. So this research shows that people, you know, they received a prompt, remind them to open a link, they actually took the time to stop what they were doing, clicked on the link, and at least read or skimmed the article, and then made the conscious decision not to tweet.
If only everyone did that, especially these days.
Bob, if everyone did that, social media would be so much less dangerous and overrun with misinformation today. And unfortunately, though, this is not going to change the overall landscape of social media, not now. But to me, it shows what's possible because the possibilities can go well beyond prompts. If Twitter were to say, let's just say they limited the reach of a tweet that someone shares without opening the link automatically, that would go a long way in making a lasting impact because you would know that to have your tweet shared, you have to actually click on the link. But now there's no way to force someone to actually do that. But imagine inserting an extra step. That could be just what the doctor ordered.
Yeah, and how. Chatting with social media strategist Scott Kleinberg. Scott, one more thing about that Facebook class action suit. If people dismissed it, deleted it because they thought it was a scam, and now they want to be part of it, is there some place they can go to get that information again?
If you go to your settings on the Facebook app, there should be something in there that talks about it, a little banner that comes up. If you click on that, you should be able to get it back.
All right. Good to know. Now let's talk about Facebook and the Oversight Board, why it's important to all of us.
Yeah, sure. So the Oversight Board is a group of experts in a range of fields that they've been tasked to help Facebook make more informed decisions on what should be allowed and not allowed to be shared across the network. It's made up of 20 members from around the world. It includes a Nobel Peace Prize laureate, as well as a former editor-in-chief of the Guardian newspaper. And it's been in development for, about, 2 years now, and it's been nicknamed Facebook's Supreme Court. So it reviews appeals made by Facebook and Instagram users who don't agree with previous content moderation decisions, so like posts being taken down or labeled as misinformation. It'll have the power to overrule decisions made by Facebook's moderation team and executives, including Chief Executive Mark Zuckerberg.
So is the goal to help them battle misinformation?
Yeah, exactly. And the big news is that it's going to launch ahead of the November election, which is huge. And this was something that critics were livid about, that after 2 years of planning, it wouldn't be ready in time for such a critical moment for the social media platform. But now they're aiming for mid to late October.
So the board isn't there to hear your complaint or my complaint. It's about high profile cases, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. High-profile cases that have resulted in flags, like flags on Donald Trump's content. High-profile cases that may arise if he questions the legitimacy of the upcoming vote and Facebook ends up taking something down. The Oversight Board could help Facebook avoid accusations of bias if it removes content that it deems problematic. There are a lot of lawmakers and conservative speakers out there that have said that Facebook censors politically conservative points of view, but that's a claim that the company says just isn't true. So the Oversight Board makes content moderation decisions specifically about handling those appeals for block or remove content.
So hopefully they will get up to speed quickly.
Yeah, seriously, because I think it's an understatement to say that this is going to be the busiest that these people have ever been. And for me, though, with a board of 20 people with different backgrounds and perspectives, I'm kind of looking forward to seeing this new voice of reason.
Yeah, there's a note that I saw today about Facebook's election labeling, and people want them to be more direct in their warnings, don't they?
They really do. I mean, these posts are just so generic. This particular one you're talking about, basically, it was a post that drew scrutiny that Donald Trump put up, and their post that Facebook put up said, visit the Voting Information Center for election resources and official updates. It's like the bare minimum, barely. I mean, it's so small, you don't even see it. No one's going to click on it, and it's not going to stop misinformation. The thing that's crazy is the only time these posts ever seem to get taken down for a is after a journalist calls calls them and brings it up. So that really stands to, you know, these posts, these flags are not doing enough.
Well, you know what? I mean, we're going to have a lot of this, I think, until Election Day, aren't we?
We definitely are. But the thing right now that I think we really have to be careful of is that particular post that got that flag. I posted something last week that just mentioned the coronavirus, just a factual thing about how things were looking in Illinois. And they actually put the same flag on it, not because they were flagging me, just because they wanted to point out that there's more information available. So if they're giving me the same flag that they're giving Donald Trump, and Donald Trump is talking about something much more serious and much more, you know, just wrong, there has to be a difference somewhere.
Wow. These are crazy times. Thanks for sorting all this out for us, Scott. You have a good week. We'll talk to you again next Tuesday.
Sounds great, Bob. Take care.